It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
That seems to me like government is establishing a religion.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
If you give people rights, women's rights, gay rights, whatever, there can't be equal rights if there's special rights.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
Surveys show that people still really prefer freedom versus force.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed, let's have a conversation. Welcome to the show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out the website, kimmunson.com. That is M-O-N-S-O-N.com. And sign up for my weekly newsletter to keep you apprised of everything that's coming down the pike here. And we've got an important show planned for you today. Jen Hewlin will be calling in from Water's Edge Winery in this first segment. Steve House, who is running for Congressional District 6, will be joining us in the second segment. In studio is one of my very valued partners, and that is Jason McBride with Presidential Wealth Management. It's great to have you here. With the market having, you said yesterday morning it looked like it was going to be a bloodbath, and Jason, it was.
It was a rough one, but Thanksgiving. Happy St. Patrick's Day, Kim, and thanks for having me here today.
Okay, well, we'll be, you've done some very interesting research on market reactions during virus emergencies, and so we'll talk about that in the third and fourth segment. Jumping in here, though, first of all, we need to be grateful for everything that we have. Ari Armstrong had written a very excellent piece that was at Complete Colorado, I think. Let me get it right here. And he says, it's a good time for an extra dose of gratitude. He says, interesting times indeed. This was written just a few days ago, not long after Governor Jared Polis declared a state of emergency over the coronavirus. Mayor Michael Hancock did the same for Denver. Donald Trump restricted travel from Europe and then declared a national emergency. He says, the unavoidable fact is that some people are going to suffer profound loss because of this disease. A lot remains unclear about how the disease will play out in Colorado and elsewhere, but this much is clear. We're in for some heartache. He said, but this may seem paradoxical, but often we can help ourselves and others get through tough times by contemplating and expressing gratitude. Perhaps you've seen the great interview with Fred Rogers in which he says that his mother told him during times of trouble, always look for the helpers. And the benefits of gratitude are revealed by folk wisdom as well as by science. In her book, The How of Happiness, psychologist Sonia Lubomirsky notes that grateful people tend to be happier, more hopeful, more helpful, and less depressed. As we have this craziness that's going on in Colorado right now and throughout the country, we need to step back. And I used to, many times when I used to go to the grocery store and have everything that I needed, I would say thank you for having everything that I need. And it's because of capitalism, because of people freely exchanging their goods and services, that we've had this abundance, this land of milk and honey, Jason McBride.
Yes, that's true, Kim, and I'll give you credit. You've made that point many, many times, how fortunate we are to be able to just walk to the grocery store and there's our bread, our meat, our vegetables, our toilet paper, and everything else. Right now, it's a little bit of a struggle, but credit where credit is due, Kim. You've been grateful for this long before it was fashionable over the last couple of weeks.
And I have to tell you, Jason McBride, my blood is boiling just a little bit because of what I think is happening is the politicization of this. And what we have seen with, first of all, Mayor Hancock and now Governor Polis basically shutting down the hospitality industry here in Colorado. Steve, I asked you to pull a couple of sound bites. And the first one, let's do this one. James Carville, this was, what year was that? Do you know? Is that on there, Steve?
Most likely 1992.
Okay. And so this is the first thing. James Carville, this is what he said.
Stay focused. Talk about things that matter to people. It's the economy, stupid.
It's the economy. And Donald Trump had done things that was really getting this economy humming along. The stock market was looking at it. Typically, it is a kind of a barometer of emotion looking into the future. And it was reaching new highs. And I think that the radical activists realized that after everything they've thrown at Donald Trump, that now they had to do something about the economy. And then what did Rahm Emanuel say?
You never want a serious crisis to go to waste. And what I mean by that, it's an opportunity to do things that you think you could not do before.
Oh, so imagine that. Take a look at this. Champaign, Illinois. Let me get to this. Hold on. It's right here. Patty's done such a great job on all this research. And I'm a real paper person here.
Steve, can you cue up the music from Jeopardy while we're waiting?
Okay, Champaign, Illinois, actually. I'll get to it here in just a second. But let's look what de Blasio said that he is going to do, and that is that he thinks that we and de Blasio, as the mayor of New York, he says we need to nationalize key industries, calling coronavirus a warlike situation. And then what we see here in Colorado with the governor shutting down the restaurant business, it's absolutely astounding to me what's going on, and you're seeing this big overreach of power right now. Let me do a couple of things, though. I jumped right in here. As we look at these issues, it's freedom versus force, force versus freedom. Socialism ultimately comes down to force. Governor Polis and Mayor Hancock have forcibly basically closed all of the restaurants and taverns in the state of Colorado for an extended period of time, and that's going to hurt people. And if something's a good idea, you don't need force to implement it. You can make the case in the battle of ideas. We're continuing to see the socialization of transportation, education, energy, housing, water, broadband, data, healthcare. Fasten your seatbelts, because those down at the State House, while they are in adjournment, are figuring out more and more ways to take over these things here in Colorado. Do want to say thank you to our team, Steve, Patty, Zach, Keith, and Charlie, for all of your support and your good work. And thank you to each of you listeners. Each of you are valued, you're treasured. Strive for excellence today. Take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. And we are Americans. Don't forget that. Our quote for today, I'm having a heck of a day. For some reason that didn't print off, Steve, so I'm going to get that in a minute. And a little humor, okay, Jason? Do you know what is Irish and stays out all year?
I was going to say my father.
No.
You know, from being drunk and out, but that would just be made up.
That would be it. No, what is Irish and stays out all year? It is patio furniture. Okay.
Oh, man. Jason, maybe we can go find some green beer somewhere. I found another little funny for you. Jason and I found this a little while ago, if you're interested. It ties into what you were saying earlier. The press is saying how many males and females are getting the virus. It's amazing how all the other 57 genders aren't getting it.
More special treatment.
There you go. So, hey, we have Jen Hewlin on the line, and she is the owner of Water's Edge Winery, and she's a valued sponsor of ours. And Jen, when we talked the other day, this whole shutdown thing hadn't happened yet. What's your read on that, Jen?
Good morning, everybody. It was a late night, had a couple glasses of wine, worrying about what we're going to do. And I had a moment of clarity, and that is that free people don't ask permission, and I will not be shutting down my business. So that's not to say I'm going to break the law and be open for people to come in and eat, but I have a team of people that are relying on me and all of you fine people out there to pay their own bills, to keep their lights on. So we are still going to be selling wine by the bottle. We're kind of unique because we're not just a restaurant. We're also a winery, and liquor stores are not closed. So we will be selling food to go. We will be selling wine by the bottle. And I'm toying with an idea of even doing wine delivery. And the great news is you may not be able to go to your local tavern and have a green beer, but if you come into Water's Edge, I promise you, if you buy a white wine and you want it made green, I can do that for you. So I will be doing that this evening.
Well, very good, Jen. And, you know, I so value you and your team over there. I look at all of you as friends. And I'm kind of mad about this whole thing, that as I've looked at this, and Jason's going to go over this as well, but there's been more than 182,000 people that have been infected throughout the world with this coronavirus. 7,000 have died. The U.S. has reported 86 deaths. And then as we look at the CDC, Patty had pulled this, the CDC report And from October 1st of 2019 through February 29th of 2020, there had been anywhere from 34 million to 49 million flu illnesses, 20,000 to 52,000 flu deaths. And it seems to me like that quote that or that soundbite that we had earlier today from James Carville, it's the economy, first of all, and then Rahm Emanuel says, never let a good crisis go to waste. I think that in a couple of weeks, we are going to look at this, and we are going to see the overreach of these radical activists that are running many of our cities and our states. And we need to take a look at this. They will stop at nothing to try to win this next election. And they are not the people that I think we want in those positions, Jen.
The podcast this morning, which is Ben Shapiro, and he's talking about over in England, they've actually done what I would suggest is the appropriate method. And they are telling people that are high risk to stay at home and to stay away, but allowing everybody else to go out and be productive and continue building the economy and staying productive and staying active instead of shutting down their country. And that makes the most sense to me. I don't know why we're not doing that as a society. So that's my plan. As much as I can within the letter of the law, I'm going to be out there and I'm going to continue to try to make the best out of the situation and stay positive. I want to be a positive influence for the people out there to see you don't have to curl up into a corner and spend the next month crying because the world is coming to an end. Go outside, enjoy the sun, take a walk, play with your kids and your dog, come and have some wine. I mean, pick it up, take it home. We'll make it green for you.
Well, that is for sure. And so that's Jen Hewlin with Water's Edge Winery. And it seems like that you have creativity and innovation happening over there. I so appreciate you and your team. I appreciate your partnership. And so stop by Water's Edge Winery today and pick up some white wine that you can have made green tonight for St. Patrick's Day. Jen, thank you so much.
Thanks, Kim. Thanks, Steve. Bye, everybody.
Okay. And did you have something to say?
No, I think it's great, Jen's attitude to keep trying to push forward. You know, one comment real quick, Kim, is it's amazing how fast many people that have been small government, anti this, are now screaming that the government needs to do something. And it's so funny to see that turn and the panic every day. Well, the government needs to do this. The government needs to put a floor under the stock market. The government. And I'm more with Jen. The government only can do limited things in an emergency like this or whatever. It's more up to us, you know, to take our own actions as Jen is doing and to use your head, you know, and take a little bit of just some common sense actions to help, you know, with this situation. I don't think you want the government to come and help because then they'll just keep on helping.
Well, that's true. And our quote, I found that Wilfred Arlen Peterson was an American author who wrote for This Week magazine for many years. For 25 years, he wrote a monthly column for Science of Mind magazine. He published 9 books starting in 1949, The Art of Getting Along, Inspiration for Triumphant Daily Living. He was born in 1900, died in 1995. He said, our children are watching us live, and what we are shouts louder than anything that we can say. And we're going to go to break. Before we do that, one of my other valued partners is Hooters Restaurants, and they're having to take, you know, try to get creative on what they're doing as well. So be sure and go by and pick up some Hooters wings, take them home for dinner, or you can actually have them delivered to your front door. But I would highly recommend that you do that. And one other thing I just wanted to mention, I found this as well, and this should strike terror in all of our lives. And this is Champaign, Illinois. On March 13th, the Champaign City Council unanimously approved an ordinance giving the mayor and city manager a broad range of new temporary emergency powers, including the authority to, now we're talking about the flu, my friends. They could impose a curfew, they could bar residents from public buildings, they could close all liquor stores, they could require the closing of business establishments, they can prohibit the sale of firearms and ammunition, and they can order city employees or agents on behalf of the city to take possession of any real or personal property of any person, or to acquire full title or such lesser interest as may be necessary to deal with a disaster or emergency, and they can ration or shut off public utilities such as water and power. That is Champaign, Illinois, the 10th largest city in Illinois with a population of just 88,000. We can see that this crisis out there, they are not letting that go to waste, go after our civil rights. And my friends, we need to be vigilant on that. We're going to go to break. When we come back, Steve House is on the line. He is running for Congressional District 6, and that is Jason Crow currently is in that seat. And my friends, as we look at what is happening here, the radical activists that have taken over many different of our elected offices, we need to make sure that we are looking at what they are doing, and we need to put in people that care about freedom, and we'll be right back.
You want to succeed, so you need to dress for the job, event, or relationship that you seek. For more than 30 years, entrepreneur and stylist Kim Munson has been helping women look their very best. And guys, Kim can help you with made-to-measure shirts that fit great and you'll love to wear. Guys and gals, if you want to up your game, freshen your look, email kim@kimmunson.com for your initial style consult. kim@kimmunson.com.
Hey, welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out my website. That's kimmunson.com, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. That's where you can email me, kim@kimmunson.com as well. On the line with me is Steve House, and he is a candidate for Congressional District 6. And he'd been back in Washington, D.C. He's got a plan for health care, and we want to talk about that. Welcome to the show, Steve.
Good morning, Kim. How are you?
I'm good. Before we jump into healthcare, because that's so important, obviously, what's your read on the craziness that's happening right now, Steve?
You know, there's some of this is overdone. Some of it is actually fairly rational. I mean, you have a virus that there's no antigen to. There's no herd immunity built up. It's a bit scary for some people in that regard. I think there's, you know, the idea that 80% of the people have mild symptoms. You know, people need to get through it so they can build up immunity. So in future years, when it comes back, you know, there's an ability to fight it off and not have it be causing mass panic. On the other hand, the problem with this virus right now is that the test is not very sensitive. So I was on the phone last night with a whole bunch of doctors around the country. We do this every other week for my health plan discussion. You know, most of them said, look, sometimes you have to be 2 weeks into it before the test will actually be positive, because you don't have enough viral load from the virus itself to be able to show that, and the test is not sensitive. So that's why there's so much concern about spreading it around, because you could test negative 3 or 4 times before you finally test positive. And as a result of that, for some people, they're not getting the treatment, and that's causing, you know, people to die maybe that wouldn't have died even if they've got compromised immune systems, because they don't know they have the disease, and it takes so long to find it. And that's just something we're going to have to wrestle with here over the next couple of weeks.
Okay. So that really is a segue into healthcare. And I can see that those that really want to control the healthcare system will be using this as an opportunity to talk about Medicare for All or public option, you know, all the different names, but basically government-run healthcare. But you have a different plan, right, Steve?
That is correct. In fact, in my trip to Washington, Kim, one of the most important parts about our discussion was the first two steps of the 5 steps we will take to, you know, repeal and ultimately replace Obamacare do not require legislative action. And that's very, very important, because step number one is transparency. The president signed an executive order that goes into effect on January 1st of this coming year. What happens with transparency is fairly simple. It's a free market response, just like when Samsung came out with a phone to compete with the iPhone. We saw pricing go down, level value go up, and then continue to go down. The president has mandated 300 procedures be put online. We think that number should be more like 7,000 procedures, but that's part of what we're going to drive is once you start with transparency, it's going to be a train wreck in some regards, because you're going to have health systems who are going to have to change their pricing literally by the end of the first day to compete. However, the American people will see a big reduction in the cost of health care that will lead to lower premiums as we get into steps 2, 3, 4, and 5 of our plan.
Okay, then what's step number two?
Step number two is to enforce safe harbor. And people don't know the term safe harbor. Let's simplify it. Everybody, when they sell their house, typically uses a broker. We pay that broker somewhere between 4 and 7% of the commission on the price of the house. There are brokers in drug distribution, pharmacy distribution, called pharmacy benefit managers, and they take rebates. And those rebates were supposed to be limited to 3% of the cost of the drug. We find them in real practical senses, Kim, to be somewhere between 100% of the price of the drug and 10,000% of the price of the drug. So insulin, which costs, the manufacturer delivers it for $88, has rebates of $300 added onto it, and the patient pays over $400 for the drug. We're going to enforce safe harbor again through HHS. They have the ability to do it. And once that happens, we'll start to see drug pricing come down fairly dramatically.
Okay, now that you have a word there, Steve, that is always of concern to me, and that is the word force, enforce. And so, you know, break that out a little bit more for me. I need to understand that more.
Well, it's enforcing the actual law. So, you know, I'm a rule of law person just like you are. So safe harbor laws were written in the late 80s to allow brokers to exist, because they're literally taking kickbacks from pharmaceutical companies in order to distribute drugs through, you know, out the U.S., the hospitals, the pharmacies, et cetera. So when I say enforce, I don't mean government forcing something. I mean government enforcing the law.
Okay.
As it's written.
And what you're talking about, I mean, it does sound to me like a kickback that they've been receiving. And you said it could be as much as 10,000%. And would kickback be the appropriate word on that?
Yeah, because the safe harbor laws, that literally, if you look up safe harbor, what it says is an ability to override an anti-kickback statute. So Medicare buys insulin, they buy antibiotics from pharmaceutical companies who make them. The broker, the pharmacy benefit manager, sits in the middle and they say, all right, you know, you make insulin, we can send your insulin to these hospitals, these pharmacies for you. We can give you a priority. We can even make you a sole source. But if you're going to be that one, you must give us a rebate that we can take a portion of and distribute a portion of it to the health plan themselves. Those rebates were supposed to be limited to 3% in the law, and they have gotten completely out of control, and nobody's enforced the law.
Okay. And HHS will now enforce that particular thing. Is that right, you said?
They should have. They should be doing it by now. They attempted to do something last year in January, I think. Where you have to get past this is there's a massive lobbying effort not to let that happen. So I think it's going to come down to the president. The guy that wrote the transparency rules for the president is a guy named David. David actually works on our healthcare team as well. So we're working directly with his administration, you know, the Trump administration, on how to do this. I don't think it's going to be easy, Kim, because we're fighting against the force of, you know, major healthcare lobby effort against
it. Sure, sure, definitely. Okay. What about number three, Steve?
Number three is you literally must have shopping tools come into the market. So, you know, whether it's Amazon or Google or other tools, right? If I say, all right, Kim, every hospital in the city is going to give you a cash price and an insurance price for a hernia surgery. And if you happen to need hernia surgery, you need an ability to find the one you want to go to with the lowest price at the highest quality. You need to be able to see the difference between the cash price and the insurance price. And I'll give you one quick example. We looked at 10 common procedures in the Denver area, MRI, hernia surgery, other things. The total price of those 10 things from an insurance perspective was $140,100. We then called and got the cash pricing for all 10, and it was only $52,000. So you're going to see this massive delta between what United or Aetna will pay for you and what you could pay for yourself. You need to be able to shop it. So those tools will come out soon by vendors and be on your iPhone, for example.
Okay. And then number four?
Number four is you have to actually introduce healthcare plans that are fiduciary in nature. There's new plans, there's small plans, there's direct primary care, for example, where You know, the average cost of a claim goes from $250 a month to $82. They're already in existence, and they're part of changing the business model. The problem in healthcare and probably education, if you really look at it, is the business models themselves are not functional for the consumer. They're not free market-based. To change that model, you need new models to come in play and demonstrate effectiveness. We'll be introducing new concepts of health plans. The idea that selling a health plan across state lines would be a solution is just the wrong idea, because we already do it. What you need is a health plan that actually demonstrates that it can take care of you, manage your risk, and not, for example, so this is a simple answer, Kim. If you buy an automobile policy, when you crack up your car, you go to a body shop, somebody pays for it on an insurance perspective. That's called indemnity. In healthcare, what Obamacare did was it took that and said, now you must pay for car washes, oil changes, windshield wipers, tires, and all this other stuff. That's why our premiums went up. We have to go the other direction, back to a indemnity plan, and that's what you'll see.
Okay, and then number five, Steve House.
Restructure the tax situation regarding health care. You as a consumer versus somebody who's in an employment plan, if you can go out and get a better plan on your own, you need to be able to do that, but right now you're at a massive tax disadvantage because you would have to pay for your health insurance with after-tax dollars, whereas an employee, your tax is paid for pre-tax dollars. We've got to fix that problem so that you have an equal opportunity in both.
Okay, and so instead of an employer paying for health care, could they just then in some case, or just give the employee a certain amount if they wanted to, and say, go use this for your health care, and to go out and find your own health care. So would that be part of that?
Yes. In fact, Ted Cruz has introduced a bill that will allow health care savings accounts, which are tax-free accounts, to go up to as much as $20,000 a year with some incentives. If you do a good job on your health, you can then take that money and go buy what you want with pre-tax dollars, everything from who you see as primary care to what kind of a health plan you buy for, you know, catastrophic stuff.
Okay. So ideally, I think just as I talk to young people, ideally, I think that, first of all, health care, Obamacare, I think, has done exactly what it was intended to do, and it has made health insurance very expensive. You know, it has increased the deductibles, it's increased the premiums. So then the next thing is, and Jason McBride and I were talking, free market people are all of a sudden saying, hey, the government should do something. And we've got people here in Colorado, we've got the public option, which I think they're going to really put a push on that here when the legislature gets back into session, a Medicare for all. And you know, free market people all of a sudden, because of the high cost, are I think, clamoring for a government solution. We need to walk that back, Steve.
Oh, no doubt. I mean, the worst case scenario would be either Medicare for all or a single payer sort of option in the state, because if the government sets pricing, much like Medicare sets pricing, what happens is you have to make up for that pricing some other way. And what happened to us was insurance companies under Obamacare have, you know, their profits have risen, the stock price for them has gone up 350-400%, and your cost has gone up 165%. So by forcing, you know, government forcing the market to adhere to a set of policies, procedures, and prices, you distort the market and we end up paying more. That cannot happen. We have to go the other direction.
Well, and when government gets involved, typically the quality goes down, the supply becomes limited, and the price goes up. And we've seen that. Steve House, if people want more information about you, how can they find that?
House4Colorado.com, HousForColorado.com.
Okay, great. Well, thank you so much, because healthcare is on everybody's mind. This sound looks to me like it makes a lot of sense. Steve House, thanks so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you, Kim. Appreciate the time.
You bet. We're going to go to break. When we come back, Jason McBride is in studio, and he has done an amazing amount of homework, and I can't wait to talk with him about the market reactions during virus emergencies. So this is Kim Munson. We'll be right back with Jason McBride with Presidential Wealth Management.
A reverse mortgage can be an important financial tool for individuals 62 and older. It is essential to understand the process so that all of your questions are answered. With over 17 years in the mortgage industry, Lauren Levy, Polygon Financial Group, has the experience to answer your questions. Lauren knows that each financial transaction is personal,
If you'd like to explore your options on a reverse mortgage or with rates down, explore options to remodel your home, buy a rental property, or move, call Lauren Levy at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881 for a mortgage checkup.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out my website, kimmunson.com. That's M-O-N-S-O-N.com. And you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. That's easy for me to say. Happy St. Patrick's Day, Jason McBride.
Yes, top of the morning to you.
Top of the morning to you. So you've done some research. Yesterday was a historical day in the market. Down, what, over 3,000 points. And we've seen just so much volatility over the last few weeks regarding this coronavirus. I really do think that there are radical activist politicians that are really blowing this thing up because the economy was really humming along very well. People had jobs. They felt prosperous. They were thriving. And it is astonishing to me what is going on right now. I think that, you know, when President Trump would look into the camera and say, they're not coming after me, they're coming after you. I think that that is evident because... you know, hardworking people in the restaurant business, right, this morning may not have a job. And so anyway, what have you found out regarding these viruses and the stock market?
Well, Kim, a couple of things, you know, to kind of back up just a little bit first. There's always, it's easy to blame, you know, when you see an outbreak like this, what could we have done different? I would submit that this virus was here in America before we ever even heard of it. I mean, it really was, because this it incubates for like 2 weeks. Think about how many flights come in from mm-hmm. China to America every day, and people did come over that had it, that didn't even know they had it. It wasn't even in the news in China yet. I think it was here before anything happened. Mm-hmm. So, you know, even if President Trump would have cut off all flights from China the moment that he started hearing about this outbreak over there, I think it was already here mm-hmm. on our shore. So that would have been very, very difficult. You know, one other kind of thought I had is, you know, the ramp up rate or, you know, the infection rate here. You know, it is going to get, we're going to see more cases. There's no doubt about it. You know, one thought there is, you know, we haven't seen something like this for quite a while. Now, if you live in a state where you get hurricanes, those are folks that are used to something's coming, we need to prepare, and they're used to hunkering down for this event that hits but then goes away. But you look over in China, as soon as they hear something like this, they've been to this rodeo before, you know, over and over again. So they're very quickly, I'm not talking about the government, but the population, they've seen this before. You know, they're putting on masks or doing all the things. Well, I know when I first heard about this, I was like, well, this doesn't sound like a big deal. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just, so, you know, I think as a country, we were a little bit slower to take it, you know, seriously, right out of the chute, and there you go. And, you know, I guess the last point, you know, I would make as a comparison, and I talked to you about this on the show a week or 10 days ago, is there's been comparisons to like, well, you know, when Ebola hit, nothing really happened, and, you know, that administration did such a better job of managing it than the Trump administration's doing. Well, again, I would submit to you with the Ebola, there was nothing to manage mm-hmm. in America. There was nothing to manage. How many flights do you think come in from the Congo
not
to
very
America
many.
On a daily
yeah.
basis?
There's not so, the manufacturing or any of that. So
yeah, we didn't have an issue of that getting over here without us even knowing it. So there really wasn't anything to manage. I think the only Ebola cases we had here, I looked it up, there were only four cases in America, and I think three of them were doctors that had been helping over there, and they came back into the country after we already knew they had the virus, and I heard, I guess, there was one person that got in and had it. So there really wasn't any crisis at all to manage in America with that virus compared to this one. So, yeah. So, Kim, I did do some digging. Did you have any comment or question there? I think I threw you off by backing up a little bit.
No, that's just fine. I did have one comment, and this is a doctor. This was in the American Thinker. And he said, remember the H1N1 pandemic? He says, I don't either. And basically, he said that America's in the grips, and this is this gentleman, he lives right here in Denver, it's Dr. Brian Jundeff, it looks like. He's a Denver-based physician and freelance writer whose pieces have appeared in the American Thinker, Daily Caller, Rasmussen Reports, and other publications. He said, Wuhan virus is not the first viral pandemic America's had to contend with. The last one was the H1N1 virus from 2009. How did America react to that last pandemic 10 years ago? Does anyone have any more than a vague recollection of H1N1, also known as the swine flu? No one will forget this current panic, but most have forgotten H1N1. And he said, during the swine flu pandemic, were there mass cancellations of events, including concerts, conferences, sporting events, and entire professional sports leagues? Did colleges cancel classes, finishing the remainder of their semesters online? Were travel restrictions imposed between America and Europe? Were panicked Americans hoarding everything from toilet paper to pasta? If these things happened during the swine flu pandemic, I certainly have no recollection. In 2009, congressional Democrat leaders weren't criticizing the president. Instead, they were trying to force through a government takeover of health care known as Obamacare. Criticizing its namesake wasn't in the media's playbook, and they all but ignored the swine flu.
Well, that's a great point, Kim, and that's a lot of the research that I did that I wanted to discuss today. And I think the point that he's making is the way that the media is reacting to this particular outbreak compared to outbreaks in the past. I mean, before I get into the numbers here and what the market's done in previous breakouts like this, let's think about it. You know, the media, they could cause a panic like this every time the flu broke out if they wanted to. I mean, literally, think about it. If you just gave numbers of cases of, you know, 35, 40, 50 million people getting the flu in a typical season, and that's just in the U.S. That's not worldwide, and, you know, 50,000 deaths. Well, if every time the flu broke out, the media put up a map of the U.S. on there and had these big red dots that were getting bigger and bigger, and they're at the hospitals and showing elderly people being carted out on you know, gurneys covered up. And, you know, I mean, this kind of panic could develop every single time. Anytime we had a rash of the common cold, this kind of a panic could theoretically be created. And even though people could quickly go and see, well, this is what happens with the flu every single year. Well, the media could just conveniently leave that information out. And I believe they could create just as bad of a panic as we have now.
Well, I do. And I saw a headline this morning, breaking news. CNN said that perhaps the stock market decline shows that the economy was not doing as well as we all thought. This seems so orchestrated to me.
Yes. Well, I think that's silly. I mean, right as this was starting to break out, we got just a blowout jobs report that was far better than expected. So I don't think the economy is the problem. You know, the economy may experience a few bumps and problems due to this, hopefully short term. But before this happened, I didn't see any real issues in the economy. Even the manufacturing data that they were crowing about for several months because it was below the 50 line had started to come back up very strongly too. So I think that's manipulated. But Kim, I think this is interesting and kind of proves the point. If we look at some previous outbreaks, let's look at Ebola. Okay, because I just talked about that. Now, that's a very deadly, frightening disease.
Okay.
You know, that just kills people. Now, if you look, I've got another chart here that kind of shows how contagious something is versus how easy it is to transmit it. Well, let's look at the current virus right now. I mean, they don't know the exact ranges yet, but they believe on this COVID-19 that the transmission rate is somewhere between 1.5 to 3.5. That means if one person has it, they're likely to transmit it to between 1.5 to 3.5 people.
Okay.
Now, I don't know if it's 1.5 or 3.5, but the media sure likes to use that 3.5 number.
Okay.
The fatality rate on this is somewhere between 0.7% to 3.5%. Now, these are all early numbers. Well, if you look at Ebola, and this darn chart goes over two pages, I'm sorry, Ebola had a 50% fatality rate, and the transmission rate or the... that's the correct word. How infectious is it? Was, definitely at almost the 3% range. So we know this. I mean, so this was a very difficult disease. Yet Ebola, when we had the breakout there in 2013 and 14, there were 16 million mentions of Ebola in the media total. During that entire period, 16 million mentions. That sounds like an awful lot, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Well, the market during that time went down about 6% before it eventually recovered. So it wasn't that big of a drop. Kim, let's move on to another one here real quick. Let's look at SARS.
Okay.
This is kind of an interesting one because it also came out of Asia. Well, the infection rate on SARS was about 2.8, which is towards the higher end of the range compared to corona. And the fatality rate of SARS is 20%. Now, that sounds pretty scary to me, doesn't it, Kim? Mm-hmm. Well, there were 66 million mentions of SARS in the media from the entire outbreak until it finished. And during that time, the market went down about 13%.
Okay.
Now, I could go through each one of these. I could go through MERS. I can go through, Zika.
Let's do that quick. I think that'd be good.
Yeah, let's do it. So MERS, that's the Middle East respiratory. Now, that one didn't seem to be as infectious. They're saying the infection rate was only 0.5 people, so it was much harder to spread. But 37% of the people that got it died. The market went down about 7% during that, and there were 33 million mentions of it in the media.
And that was in 2012.
That was 2012. I mean, fairly short-lived. The panic was on that one. Now, let's take a look at coronavirus,
okay. What
we've got going on now. First off, the... Again, the infection rate, we don't know it for sure. It's, they're saying between 1.5 to 3.5. That's squarely in the same range as like SARS, even Ebola. The fatality rate, again, 0.7 to 3.4. Maybe if we average that out, it's about 2%. So it's worse than the flu. You know, the infection rate is a bit worse than the flu. The fatality rate is a bit worse than the flu. But it's still nowhere near some of the possibility of huge problems of some of these other diseases we've had. Now, Kim, just since coronavirus broke out over the last 55 days, there have been 2.1 billion mentions of this in the media. The S&P is now down about 30%. So I agree with you, Kim. I mean, every time you hear about this in the media, it's the worst possible outcome. Let me back up. I remember, again, when the market was falling in the 2008 drop and some of the other big corrections we've had. It was different back then because the media as a whole showed concern that this was happening, but there was a feeling of there's good things and the market's probably going to bounce back. This won't last. And we don't hear that from a lot of the media now. It's every single report you hear, it's awful, it's terrible, it's just the negative, and there's no feeling of, you know, let's pull together on this and see things improve.
That's a really important point. Jason McBride, Presidential Wealth Management, let's go to break. This is very important information. To me, as I look at this, it looks like this panic is somewhat media-driven.
Yes.
It's akin to yelling fire in a place where there's a lot of people, and it is irresponsible to do this. We're going to go to break. This is Kim Munson. We'll be right back.
Award-winning realtor Karen Levine has 30 years of experience with RE/MAX Alliance. As a director with the National Association of Realtors, Karen Levine works to protect private property rights. Karen Levine believes in home ownership. Because of Karen's love of dogs, Karen volunteers with GRR, Golden Retriever Rescue of the Rockies, helping golden retrievers find their forever homes. Choose Karen Levine to buy or sell your home because she understands that it's more than just a house. Karen Levine comes highly recommended by Kim Munson. Call award-winning realtor Karen Levine with RE/MAX Alliance today at 303-877-7516. That's 303-877-7516.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Check out our website, kimmunson.com. That's MONSON.com. And you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. Thrilled to have in studio with me one of my valued sponsors. That's Jason McBride and your whole team over there at Presidential Wealth Management. You have done some very interesting research on the number of media mentions on coronavirus, significantly more than any of these other outbreaks that we've had, and the market reaction. So continue on, Jason.
Well, I think it's hard not to draw a conclusion that the behavior of the markets and, let's say, the general hysteria that we see in the population, and we're seeing it to some degree, Kim. I don't know if you've been to the grocery store in the last 4 or 5 days. Mm-hmm. Yeah, people are kind of freaking out.
Right.
And I don't blame them to some degree. I mean, when they hear every day on TV how bad this is and that there's no toilet paper, there's no sanitizer, there's no bread, no meat, no food, that scares folks, and there you go. But, you know, certainly it's hard not to make a correlation between the amount of media coverage and the way the coverage is being presented to
correlation.
Tremendous difference in the amount of drop we're seeing in the markets on this versus some of these other issues. So that's pretty tough. So, Kim, you know, I think, yeah, this kind of a dream come true, you know, for the Democrats and the media that want to get Trump out of office because, you know, this landed in their laps and they have taken full advantage of this crisis. Rahm Emanuel should be proud.
Well, and so, my friends, you need to take a look at this, that these people are willing to do anything to take out Trump. And when I really think that President Trump cares about every everyday hardworking Americans, no matter what your descriptor is. And you could see that the unemployment numbers were really great. Now with what Governor Polis and Mayor Hancock have done, is the unemployment rate in Colorado is going to change significantly very quickly. Now, Jason, I think they're going to try to blame President Trump for this. I really think they will.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised. I wanted to mention one more. Do you remember the big Ebola outbreak we had in 2018?
No.
Oh, I don't either, because it never got mentioned.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, okay.
Okay.
Anyhows. Well, Kim, I wanted to, if it's okay with you, just kind of talk about what the markets have done, what people might think about doing as far as actions here. One of my quotes that I've said before is, you know, it wasn't raining when Noah built the ark. And now it's raining, so it could be a little tough, you know, to make a decision now. What should I do? Mm-hmm. Should I hold? Should I sell? Should I buy more? It becomes very difficult when the markets are doing this. So since off of the highs right now, the S&P and the NASDAQ are both down about 30%. The Dow is down about 32%. And the Russell 2000, which is a measure of smaller companies, usually more volatile, is down 40% off the high. So this has been a pretty good hit. You know, I would say the major market correction started on February 24th. That was the first day that this really hit our markets. On the 24th of February, the S&P was down over 3%. We had a big increase in volume. It was the first indication of the big selling starting to hit the market, okay? Now, I'll admit, Kim, you know, I've seen corrections before. I've been through them. I'm very surprised at how severe this correction is. I certainly wouldn't have expected this. Of course, if I would have, I'd have, you know, just said, hey, sell everything and go to cash. Mm-hmm. But we don't have a crystal ball. So a couple of things to think about here. You know, I'm a big fan of Bill O'Neill, the founder of Investor's Business Daily. So a couple of things to watch for in the markets. One, as I've talked about it before, Kim, is this concept of a follow-through day. Mm-hmm. So that's when we're in a correction like this. What you're looking for is just first, you're looking for one day when we're up, an up day, and that is day one. Then you've got to watch, and somewhere between day four and day seven, ideally, you will see the market move up. You know, probably we're going to need 1.5 to 2% on a market like this on heavier volume than the previous day.
Okay.
And that's called a follow-through. It doesn't work every time, but I've said before, throughout history, we have never had a market come out of a huge correction or a bear market without this follow-through happening.
Okay.
So that's something to look for. Another thing that O'Neill said that may be more in line with how a lot of folks invest is he talked about mutual funds, you know, which are very diversified. They own a whole bunch of different stocks. Remember, any one stock can go to zero. Mm-hmm. I mean, it can. One company can go out of business. But O'Neill said that if you're using mutual funds, that if your fund price drops about 30% off of the high, in general over time, it's a good time to add shares, and you want to pick a fund that's good, solid, domestic, American companies mostly, and then if your fund price has come down about 30%, that's a decent time to think about starting
that. That makes sense. You know?
So, yeah. And I know we're running out of time, so I feel like I'm rushing just a little bit here, Kim. But I think it's interesting, too, how quickly something like this hits and you start hearing experts come on TV, right? Mm-hmm. And they give you, here's the easy way to profit from this. And they were all talking about the stay-at-home stocks. Mm-hmm. Do you remember that when it first, oh, well, here are the stocks that are going to do really good because they're stay-at-home stocks. So they mentioned Netflix. Everybody's going to be home watching movies now. Disney, Roku, those other two stocks were mentioned as part of this group of stocks you should buy because they're going to be safe. Well, Netflix is down 24%, Disney's down 35%, and Roku's down 58%
wow.
since this started. So be very careful. Oh, one other one they mentioned was NVIDIA, who makes the computer chips for a lot of video gaming systems. That one's down 38%. So by following, you know, that advice, they pop up on the screen. Oh, that sounds like it may. You'd be down more than the markets right now.
Wow.
You know, so one other one I think is interesting to mention is Starbucks, which isn't it interesting to pay $5 for a cup of coffee? Now, when they first came out and were charging as much as they were, it was because of the experience mm-hmm. that you would get. You go in, the barista makes your coffee, you hear the steam. It's kind of it was the whole experience that made the coffee worth $5 a cup. Well, now you can't even go in. So they're going to be chucking $5 cups of coffee in a paper cup through a drive-through window into your car for $5. Starbucks is down 36% since it started. Let's go for some good news here,
okay,
real quick. Here's some stocks that have held up fairly well through this. Costco is only down 13%. My guess would be is they're going to have one heck of a first quarter earnings report. Walmart is only down 12%. I would guess they'll probably have one. And now watch this. Kroger, King Soopers, up 3%.
Through all this.
Since it started. So now that may not last, you know, but...
Because they need to have product to sell.
Well, yeah, and I think it's been... And I don't think they're having a shortage of product. They're restocking the shelves. Yeah. It's just getting cleaned out as soon as it hits the shelves.
Yeah.
So that's all I really had, Kim. Again, I guess the conclusion to what I'm talking about here, I have never seen a media pile on like this before. And I agree with you. I think this is all, wow, look what dropped in our lap here. We're going to take full advantage. Let's create hysteria. Not to say that this virus isn't something to be concerned about, but there, I've never seen a pile on like this before and creating hysteria in the markets and as we're seeing now. And I agree with you. I think it's contrived.
Okay, well, you, Jason McBride, I know you're going to have to get out of here so you can get over to the office. It's great having you here. I appreciate you and all your colleagues at Presidential Wealth Management. So today, Wilfred Peterson said, walk with the dreamers, the believers, the courageous, the cheerful, the planners, the doers, the successful people with their heads in the clouds and their feet on the ground. Let their spirit ignite a fire within you to leave this world better than when you found it. So stay calm and carry on. Today, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. This is Kim Munson signing off. God bless you, and God bless America. And I-